Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, the Avengers have landed in Disney California Adventure. We talk about the new experiences, a new Disney Paper Parks creation.
Cast members are training on a classic attraction that could return soon. We finish our discussion with Devin from Disney Media Finance and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 9th, 2021. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of the weekly tiers for supporting the show. Without your support, of course, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and we can make it out to the parks more often to bring you the latest news and information from the parks, which we are going to be in the parks from July 17th, which is the 66th anniversary, through like the 21st. And so we will be there. We will be doing a meetup on what?
We're going to be doing our meetup on the 18th. It's that Sunday. We don't have a time and a place set in stone yet, but it will be someplace downtown Disney. So it will be someplace that all weekly tiers can come and hang out. You don't have to worry about making sure you have a park ticket or reservation if you want to come to the meetup. But we will have that ironed, get those details ironed out and figure out when and where exactly and let you all know next week.
Yeah, the reason it's so complicated is with boarding groups and stuff for web slingers. Because that day we're doing DCA, and we don't know like if we get a boarding group when we exit the park to do, because we want to do a midday, we're thinking. It could be complicated. We don't want to do it too late because it's a Sunday night and people have to work the next day. I don't want to do it too early because I feel like in the morning that's when the lines are low. So very complicated.
Well, and DCA is opening now at 8. We'll be opening at 8 at that point, and Downtown Disney opens at 8. So yeah, we're thinking midday is probably going to be the best time.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to become an official weekly tier yourself, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
DL Weekly logo stickers are now available. We have 4 versions for you to choose from. Watercolor, our classic logo in white, the Magic is Back, and of course, our Star Wars Galaxy's Edge variations. These durable stickers are great anywhere, your water bottle, laptop, or even your car window. Head on over to store.dlweekly.net to order yours.
Now let's get to the news.
Avengers Campus finally opened to the public on Friday. The new area features Pym's Test Kitchen, a unique take on different sized meals, Pym Testing Lab, a great place to get a cool beverage, Shawarma Palace featuring the Avengers' favorite wraps, Terran Treats with some sweet concoctions, 2 stores, which are web suppliers, and the campus supply pod, plus a lot of area for meet and greets, and 2 attractions. Of course, the existing Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, as well as the new Web Slingers of Spider-Man attraction. We will talk more in depth about these experiences as we go through our news today.
Yeah, so lots of stuff. The big thing that we don't really talk about later that I think is important to talk about was, of course, you can't just wander into Avengers Campus.
Yeah, and the other thing with that, too, is Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout is considered to be part of Avengers Campus. So you do need to enter the land to ride that attraction. I was kind of surprised that they did this. I figured that with how much popularity the new land was going to have, and we knew that there was going to be a lot of demand, there were crazy, crazy, crazy waits for people that chose to stand in the standby line to enter the land. I was surprised that they made this decision and that Guardians was off limits unless you were in the land.
Yeah, and a lot of people were disappointed and confused because that attraction has been there for a long time, so suddenly it's part of this new land that you can't get to. So just be aware that if you want to ride Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, you do have to wait in line in the queue to get in. Mm-hmm. Teresa, you and I talked a little bit about this weekend, but I'm kind of confused as to why they didn't just open the land to everybody? Because I know it's small, but I saw reports online that people weren't social distancing very well anyway because the land itself is kind of small. And it caused problems because people would mobile order their food. Well, they couldn't get back in the land if they left, and they were waiting for their food, so they just kind of had to hang out. And so it caused a lot of weird problems.
It did, yeah. And, you know, I kind of think back to how they did it for when Galaxy's Edge opened, right? So that was pre-pandemic when that new land opened. The main difference there, though,
was huge.
It was larger, but I feel like you were only allowed to be in there for a certain time.
Sure.
They kind of had you go out when you're so they kind of rotated through people a little bit better. And I don't remember there being a giant queue, standby queue, of people standing and waiting in hopes of getting into the attraction. I do feel there was a lot of people that stood in this huge long queue. I mean, it wrapped all the way back into Pixar Pier, like by the Emotional Whirlwind, and like through the World of Color viewing area. It was very, very massive. I want to say I saw reports of it being up to like 5+ hours. So, you know, and it really is. Remember Bugs Land? It's really not that big. So I feel for all the people that were very excited and were that dedicated to stand in that wait to be able to see and experience the new land. But then again, the other problem with that, like you said, is now you've had this commitment. I've spent 5 hours waiting in line to get into this land. You're not going to spend 5 minutes in the land. You're going to want to get you're going to want to get your fill. So, and the other thing too is it was great, but they also had all sorts of performances. So I think people kind of lingered because they were trying to catch all the different performances as well. So I don't really know what the correct answer was for this. I understand Disney wanting to do not have just everybody that has a ticket to DCA in the land all at the same time. I totally understand that. But it just seemed, as with any opening day, it seemed like there were some hiccups. We're hoping that they will get them ironed out soon, so anybody visiting will not have to have the same experience of long waits. So yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. I don't think there's going to be this high of a demand for the land for super, super long. I think once people get it out of their system, it'll be better.
Like I said, I just don't understand. It seems like making people line up outside is causing more problems than it would just letting people. Because,
yeah,
like,
it's hard
for me,
to say.
Like, for me, I would have, like, there's nothing to do there if you're not going to the attraction, right? If you're not going to Web Slingers, that's like the big draw. And then, of course, there's the shows, but I feel like I would walk through the land just a glimpse, and then I'd be like, there's too many people here. And, like, I'd come back later in the day.
Yeah.
Where I feel like what's happening is people are spending maybe 5 hours in line. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, now I've got to get my 5 hours worth of standing in line, so I'm going to hang out here for longer, which, of course, makes, you know, it's this cycle that I don't know. I wish they would attempt to just, let's just let it not have a line, and let's see how that goes for a day. And if it goes well, then we do it that way. If it doesn't go well, then we go back to a line.
I can see why doing the waiting system for opening weekend made sense, because there were people that were like out at 4 a.m. waiting.
That's like every time they open something.
Yeah, just to have their spot in line, you know, for security. So I just, there's a lot of like crazy diehard fans. We may or may not be those people. But
well, and Marvel fans too.
Yeah, and Marvel fans. And the other hard thing too is this land was supposed to have been opened
quite
some time ago already. So these people, these like super Marvel fans or super Parks fans that were really, really excited that got to be there have been waiting a long time for this weekend. So
sure.
I think that this weekend was crazy. And
how long do you think until it gets back to like normal?
No, I'm thinking like my random guess is like maybe a month to 2 months. Because remember Galaxy's Edge, we thought it was going to be this whole big crazy thing.
That
they were able to open it up much sooner than anybody expected.
We kind of talk about this a little bit later. I feel like Disney learned a lot of lessons from Galaxy's Edge.
So, yeah.
But I think in this case with like this queue system, I think they learned like I don't know. I personally don't think this is the best way to handle it. Mm-mm. I'm not like, there's a lot of people online who are very upset and trying to, you know, be angry at Disney and really poo-poo the new land. And I don't think it deserves all that. Cause
no.
I think, you know, it's hard. Well, first of all, it's still in the middle, well, towards the end, I guess, of a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these social distancing and stuff. So I understand a lot of the situations. I just, couldn't understand the logic of let's make a line to go into the land. That's all.
I'm kind of surprised about the line into the land, because to me it's like a you're kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't kind of situation. So think of things like, you know, like a an opening attraction. We've got boarding passes now. Some people, and I'd say you're in this camp, don't think we should even have things like fast pass, you know, just let it go. So it's just, I just don't know. I feel like there's got to be some sort of...
You caught that from my discussion earlier, didn't you?
Yep. I just feel like there should be, there's some sort of balance point here. So I feel like, right, with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you had to have your boarding group, and that was the only way you were getting into that land. They had no standby queue at all.
Right.
Whereas what they did for Avengers Campus kind of makes me think like it was kind of, if you were to think of it like an attraction,
sure,
it was almost like you had a standby and a fast pass queue, because if you could bypass the land if you had a boarding pass for the attraction.
Sure.
Otherwise, you're standing in the standby land. So I feel like there's got to be some sort of a sweet spot. I don't know how they're ever going to figure it out, because I feel like the game is always changing and evolving, because we had just just going back to attractions, we had just standby queues, and then we introduced fast pass, and then we introduced max pass, and now we've got boarding passes, and now we have virtual queues. You know, just kind of, it's ever changing.
Sure.
So I feel like maybe it's Disney trying to figure out what the balance
is. I'm also confused, because Disney for years, like, has always been touted as amazing at crowd control. And I just feel like, I mean, I guess they've done okay with the amount of people who are in the line, but it just seems like they'd come up with a better solution. That's
well,
all.
The other
we don't have to keep beating the dead horse about it.
Is what do you think, what would that line have been minus 6 feet in between each party?
Oh, much
too?
Less.
That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
So it may have just looked crazy, even though, you know, like all of the attraction queues right now look crazy, crazy long lines.
Yeah.
But really, they're not as bad as they look.
I just hope they get to a point where they can just let people in and not
have
to
wait.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be soon.
I hope so. Of course, the hot ticket on campus is the new Web Slingers attraction. This is virtual queue only at the moment, with slots available at 7 a.m. and noon each day. There is no standby. Guests that were able to snag a place in the queue can bypass the line to enter Adventures Campus and head in to board the attraction, which Teresa was just saying. Reviews are mixed and describe the ride as a different version of Toy Story Midway Mania. Riders use their hands to shoot webs at the different objects in the attraction to get a score and help Spider-Man save the campus from the spider bots, which have gone out of control.
I am really... So, as you all know, I enjoy Marvel movies. I'm not super, super crazy excited about the land. Do I want to see it? Yes, of course. The thing I'm looking most forward to is, like, probably everyone's least favorite thing that they're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Doctor Strange Sanctum area. That's what, like, I'm... But...
The show or just the area?
Both.
Oh, geez.
Both. I haven't seen the show yet at all. I'm trying to...
The show is pretty
decent. Decided I'm going to try and stay spoiler-free on, because I did see some little, like, snippet sneak peeks, and it's way cooler than I would have thought it was going to be, so I'm going to keep myself spoiler-free. But the area has me really intrigued. But there's something about, ever since I was little, and my brother was super into Spider-Man, and, like, you could see Spider-Man shooting webs from his wrist, I always, like, how cool, right? So the fact that we can now go onto an attraction and the technology makes it appear that we're going to be slinging webs from our wrists, that just, like, I don't know.
People
that
have
seems
said,
so exciting. I don't even care what it is that I'm shooting my webs at. I just want to see that technology.
People have said that the accuracy of the system knowing where your arm is wonderful. Like,
that's crazy.
It works really
that's
well.
Cool.
The other thing is, there is only one sign in the queue that tells you, like, all the different things you can do. So for our listeners, I'm going to tell you some tips. So if you only get to go in there once, here's some tips, quick tips. One, not only can you shoot your webs at the spider bots that are, like, running around, but you can also shoot your webs at things in the area. So, like, you can grab, like, a box and you could pull it and it'll swing the box around. Yeah.
Knock out the box.
So it's not just, like, target practice where you're just shooting, like, shot, but you can actually swing things around with your web. So that's something we have to remember when we're riding it, because I think that that's going to be helpful rather than sitting there
that seems
crazy.
Like, it would be a lot less, like, muscle fatigue.
Yes. People are definitely talking about that,
slinging,
too.
Slinging. That's so crazy.
I am excited for this attraction. Another thing to note that some people seemed a little confused about, the entrance to this attraction is, like, in the middle of the land. So you actually walk by the section you can see from the parade route. You walk past all of that, and it's right before you get to what you to where the restrooms are. It's kind of nestled in that corner.
Interesting. So it's, yeah, okay, yeah, it's basically like in the heart of the land. Interesting.
Yeah. So I can see how that'd be confusing because you think like they have this very big wall facade area where Spider-Man comes out and does stuff.
I think the photo op with Spider-Man's over on that section of wall too. I believe. Very cool. It'll be interesting once we are able to get there to like kind of get our bearings better as to where everything is.
Yeah.
And how it's all laid out. Well, Pim's Test Kitchen has been pretty well reviewed. Mobile ordering is the way you get food at this location now. The two places, so you have to mobile order only with Pim's Test Kitchen, also Pim's Lab, which is where you get all the fun drinks with bubbles and they're in test tube type thing. I'm very excited about this. But if you do go to either Shawarma Palace or Terran Treats, those are the two food carts. You do not need to mobile order for those dining locations in Avenger Campus.
At this time.
At this
they keep
time.
Changing
That's
all
true
this.
At this time. But the mobile ordering has been a little less than ideal. On opening day, guests could order food when not in the land and could sometimes be allowed in to get their food, while other times they were being denied access into the land. Over the weekend, they changed the notification, so guests had to order in the land only, in addition to adding the order windows throughout the day instead of only in the morning. The food itself is getting great reviews. The Pim Nini sandwich is reported to taste like a meat lover's pizza in a sandwich. The not-so-little chicken sandwich also got good reviews. For a complete review, please check the link in our show notes.
Yeah, there is so much food, and it was kind of funny, because opening weekend, right?
So much food.
So many bloggers and vloggers were literally ordering, like, the entire menu.
Everything.
And so I'm like, well, no wonder they had so many problems, because, like, one order was everything. And one of the people, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was Disney Food Blog or if it was Mice Chat. One of them said that the mobile order has like a financial limit, like per order of $250, which they hit trying to order all the food.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah. So that was very interesting to read about. But this stuff looks really good. I'm actually very excited for this location. I'm not normally a person to get very excited about the food stuff. I'm very excited for this. In fact, I'm very excited for the Shawarma Palace as well, and the Terran Treats, like just everything
You're
they've done a really nice
the
job.
Food, huh?
They've done a really nice job.
So, what are you most excited to try at Pim's Test
Kitchen? The Pimini sandwich.
Really?
Yes, I love the look of it. It just looks like it's going to taste really good. I'm very excited. I don't care about like the pretzel. To me, is like a pretzel you can get anywhere. However, the cheese beer sauce, not the beer cheese sauce, is supposed to taste really good with that. The chicken sandwich is interesting. I have a feeling when we go, like, producer James might get the chicken sandwich because he likes chicken stuff. So I feel like he might get that and be interested in that. But for me, they also, we didn't talk about this, they also have Coke Freestyle machines.
Yes.
So you can get, like, tons of variations of drink, which also has that drink that is, like, special
to
this.
Yeah, I was very interested in that because I want to try that drink. Poingo? How do you say it?
I don't know.
Pingo. The Pingo Dose. I might be butchering that, and please let me know if I did. But the Pingo soda, it's like a lime green soda, and it's like specific to the Avengers or the Marvel Universe, is there. And I was really interested in trying that. I have a thing with drinks. Like, I really like trying especially non-alcoholic drinks. Alcoholic drinks are kind of hit or miss because I don't like a lot of different, like, I don't like gin, whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't need to get into my likes and dislikes on that. But there's always something about, like, specialty non-alcoholic drinks. I just have this weird, like, need to try it thing.
Well, they look so good.
Yes, they look so, like, the Pair of Dice. We so were not disappointed with the Pair of Dice. In fact, I make them at home now. That's how much I like the Pair of Dice soda that we found. Anyways, off topic.
Doesn't this Pimini sandwich look delectable?
It does look delectable. So I was really interested that, I was interesting to me that the, like, soda of the land, like, the main drink of this Pim's Test Kitchen was on the soda, like, on the soda machine. That was really interesting. I thought you'd have to order it special. So that was good to know. Otherwise, I would have been asking at the counter, hey, I want to get that soda. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? Go to the machine.
Presentation-wise, I would love to try the Impossible Spoonful because I love that it's a giant spoon. But everybody's review is basically like, it's basically spaghetti meatballs.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I want to try the Pimnini, and I do want to try the chicken sandwich, the not so little chicken sandwich.
Oh, and the Choco Smash.
I don't want, like, the not so little chicken sandwich looks overwhelming to me, so I would definitely only have like part of one.
What about this Choco Smash?
Yes, I'm curious about the Choco Smash dessert chocolate bar.
So the Disney Food Blog thing. Said it is a Snickers, Three Musketeers, and a Reese's kind of smashed mm-hmm. together is what it kind of comes out as, and I like all of those.
There's like brownie or something in there too. I don't know. It's a lot, and that's definitely another one that I would need to be sharing with people because it looks massive.
Yeah, I feel like it would melt, especially in the heat of the mm-hmm. summer. Over at Terran Treats, there are two items on the menu: the Sweet Spiral Ration, which is a pineapple churro wrapped in a swirl, and the Cosmic Cream Orb, which is a chocolate cream puff filled with whipped raspberry cheesecake. The ration tastes like a Dole Whip mixed with a churro. Ooh. I'm interested to know what you think about that, Teresa. The orb tastes mostly of cheesecake with a hint of raspberry.
So my thought process, honestly, when they say Dole Whip mixed with a churro, that actually makes me want to try it less because I just can't really imagine eating like a Dole Whip and a churro at the same time. I was not like oohed out when they said it had a hint of, like a churro with a hint of pineapple for some reason. That sounded okay, but Dole Whip and churro, just, I don't know. That sounds a little too much. I'll try one. I'm not going to order one for myself. I will maybe have a bite of someone's. I am interested, though, and I know you are, too. Am interested to try the orb.
I love cheesecake, and this, I love purple, and it's purple cheesecake. I know you are turned off by the outside of this, but I love how it looks.
It looks like a burnt marshmallow or like a rock or something. But once you cut it open and see the purple is much more appealing looking.
I want one so bad. I'm just hoping that this, like, that my mind hasn't, like, put it on this high level that, like, it will never attain that goodness.
Yeah.
Because I really want to like this.
Okay, you need to, like, tone it back now, just in case.
So just go in thinking it's going to taste awful.
Yeah, just think of it as the burnt marshmallow rock. Because then you'll have, like, it will definitely taste better
now,
than burnt marshmallow.
Today, when I wrote the script, this next story, I had not read any description of these items, so...
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Well, let's get into it then. The Shawarma Palace features breakfast and daytime menus. For breakfast, there is the Impossible Breakfast Shawarma, which features plant-based breakfast sausage and egg omelet wrap with a dairy-free American cheese and crispy potato bites served, of course, with maple syrup. The daytime options include the New York's Tastiest, which is a chicken shawarma wrap with garlic spread and a coconut yogurt tahini sauce and pickled vegetables. And then there is the Impossible Victory Falafel, which is a plant-based falafel and cauliflower wrap, garlic spread hummus, and a coconut yogurt tahini sauce with pickled vegetables. The Disney Food Blog said the falafel was a little bland, but the chicken wrap was great.
The chicken wrap is definitely what I would order here, the New York's Tastiest. I did not realize that they had a garlic
spread
that I love garlic. Yeah. Like, I could eat garlic all day. And a coconut yogurt tahini sauce, they said, tastes basically like a tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, tzatziki sauce.
So I'm very excited to try this. I think that if we have people that are hungry enough at this point, if we're in the land and hungry enough, we should probably order maybe one of each of these to try them. But
you know,
I don't know.
I was actually more interested. I was surprised that the Disney Food Blog said that the falafel was bland because reading the description, mm-hmm. it sounds like that would have more flavor because you've got the hummus in there plus the cauliflower wrap. So I don't know. I'm really curious to try
sure.
both.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they almost remind me of like a gyro, and I love gyros. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to try a shawarma. Pim Test Kitchen also serves breakfast from opening until 10:45 a.m. Options include the Calculated Breakfast, the ever-expanding Cinnapim Toast, the Impossible Quantum Garden Breakfast, and the Spoonful of Cereal. Sides include smoked bacon, turkey bacon, potato bites, or a Cutie's Mandarin. The Cinnapim Toast was reviewed well, but the other items were hit and miss. Check out the link in our show notes for the complete review.
I'm all about the ever-expanding Cinnapim Toast. That's the
it
one
looks
thing.
So
I'm,
good.
Yeah, I'm not a big breakfast person, but that's the one thing that, of the menu, caught my eye. It does look good. It looks like you could share, because it looks like it's quite the portion size.
So the review on the Disney Food Blog said that the most disappointing item was the spoonful of cereal, because it's served in the in the same spoon thing that the mm-hmm. pasta is served in, but it's literally just Raisin Bran.
Yeah, well... It's more about presentation.
I suppose. I kind of want one of those, like, big spoon. The culinary team have just been knocking, like, all the, like, presentation stuff out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love it. Yeah, so I think the Cinnapim toast, I think I'm excited for. They did say that the sugar that they put on it gives it kind of an unappealing look, but it tastes good.
Hmm, interesting. I'm all about it still. Well, speaking of food, because we clearly have not talked about food quite enough for this episode, we do have some more exciting food-type news. More dining locations will be open for guests to enjoy very soon. Disney just announced that on June 17th, Oga's Cantina, Docking Bay 7, Rancho del Zocalo, the Tiki Juice Bar, and Alien Pizza Planet would be serving guests again. Over in DCA, the Lamplight Lounge will be bringing back its brunch offerings on July 9th, and the Wine Country Trattoria will be reopening. We've seen mixed reports on that. We've seen July 17th and June 17th, so we're not sure if there was a typo in the Disney food or in the Disney Parks blog, or if it is, because put it this way, everything is June 17th except for brunch. And then they said that the Wine Country Trattoria is going to be July 17th. So we're not sure if July 17th is accurate or if it's actually June 17th. So just keep your eye on that if you are looking for Wine Country Trattoria dining reservations. But reservations will be available starting on June 14th for Oga's and also for Lamplight Lounge, as well as the Wine Country Trattoria. So
I have to say that I was so excited to hear about this because I love Alien Pizza Planet. Mm-hmm. I love Rancho Zocalo, and I love the Cantina. I've never eaten a Docking Bay 7, though we talked about that we probably should try that this time.
Yep.
But I know both of our producers are excited for Oga's because James has never been there and Vern quite liked it.
Yep, exactly. I'm the most excited about the Tiki Juice Bar because you know what that means? Right now there's been not shortage, but it's been very difficult to get a Dole Whip. You have to order your Dole Whip because it's all mobile order, right? You have to order it earlier than you think you might want it because say it's like 6 p.m. and you say, you know what would be great right now? A Dole Whip. Well, guess what? There might not be any reservation windows open anymore for mobile ordering. So I'm very excited that the Tiki Juice Bar will be returning because then we have two locations in Disneyland that are serving Dole Whips. The other thing, too, is I had heard rumors that the Tropical Hideaway was only doing Dole Whips, and they had stopped serving, the food because they were having to keep up with the Dole Whip demand. I don't know if that was true. Maybe that was just temporary, depending on the day. But anyways, there is a need for Dole Whip, and I'm glad that they are expanding their Dole Whip
offerings.
You
can also get a Dole Whip as you're ready to go into the Tiki Room. Because before, you'd have to go to the Tropical Hideaway.
Exactly. That's very true. Very true.
Unlike Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which was criticized for not having enough atmosphere when it came to sound or interactions in the land, Avengers Campus excels in this regard. Members of the Avengers are outperforming around the campus in stunt shows, a practice session, some acrobatic maneuvers, and in a short Doctor Strange show in the Ancient Sanctum. Music from the series is also played throughout the area.
That's exciting. I feel like Disney learned their lesson because, right, we were very excited about this for Galaxy's Edge, like you said. However, when the land opened, it wasn't quite what we were expecting as far as how interactive the land was going to be. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. I didn't know that they were going to have this much action going on in the land until we got closer to the date and they were giving us more and more sneak peaks. I thought some of that stuff was promo-y kind of things.
Sure.
I didn't realize that it was going to be a consistent thing happening in the land. So I thought that's very exciting.
So the real question is, do you think that they're going to bring some of this to Galaxy's Edge?
I really hope so. I don't think it's going to happen soon, but I could see with how this plays out in Avengers Campus and what the guests feel about this, which I think is all great reviews.
Oh yeah.
I do think that they could maybe bring this idea back to life for Galaxy's Edge.
I hope they do, because I feel like there's lots of areas around Galaxy's Edge up on some of the walkways and buildings and stuff that they could do a lot of this stuff. And I'd be really excited to see this type of stuff in Galaxy, because that was kind of the promise, right? There'd be droids running around and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they do that. Overall, though, this is definitely one of the highlights of the land, is all of this activity going on around and
definitely
stuff. So, and they have some cool stunt performers. They've got people climbing up the sides of walls. They've got, actually, the sad part is the least exciting thing that people have reported on is the fact that there's a Spider-Man thing that uses the Stuntronic, and the Stuntronic obviously is the highlight of this experience. But Spider-Man kind of does this gymnastic-y kind of stuff first, and they're like, well, this is kind of strange, because he's just look at me, and I can do a flip. And then he runs off, and then the Stuntronic goes, and then he comes down and does a meet and greet. So I don't know. I want to know so much more about the Stuntronic, though. I am obsessed.
You know, my thing with Stuntronic, we were very excited about this, and I want more. That's all I'm going to say. I want more Stuntronic.
It's super cool. I wonder if, I hope they use technology like this with other things in the future. Can you imagine having something like a Stuntronic on something like Fantasmic? Like, doing something crazy that, like, somebody wouldn't be able to do?
Yeah, yeah. For those of you who can't make it to the parks to visit Avengers Campus just yet, Walt Disney Imagineers, of course, have a solution. In their latest Disney Paper Parks release, you can build all of Avengers Campus. The set includes 13 Marvel characters to decorate your new creation. Visit the link in our show notes to download the template and create your own land.
This is a big one.
What's surprising about this is everything else was released in portions. Like, it wasn't like,
yeah,
boom, here's Main Street. It was, you know, sections of Main Street. So it was interesting. It was cool, and it was interesting to me that this was like a full release. Part of me, part of me kind of wonders if maybe I feel like we haven't seen a Paper Parks for a while. So a little part of me wonders, was this maybe supposed to be a slow rollout like the other ones to kind of help build excitement?
Sure.
Or was this intended to be a boom, like, here it all is thing that they're doing now?
Well, I also feel like, I think you're onto something, because when they were released in the Disney Paper Parks, that was the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Avengers Campus was supposed to open like June, July of last year. Mm-hmm. So this would have fit in with that time frame.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had a Disney Paper Parks thing for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, we have this now. So. Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be onto something. Well, great news for fans of the Disneyland Railroad, like me. The trains are now running from open to close at Disneyland and are boarding at all the stations. For the first few weeks that Disneyland was open, staffing shortages resulted in the train only running until 2:30 in the afternoon and only loading at the Toontown station.
This is very exciting because not everybody wants to do a Grand Circle tour, or wants to go all the way back to Toontown to enter the train. There's just something iconic about getting on the train at the train station, right off at Main Street. They're the big grand train station. My other favorite place is also, I do like the New Orleans Square one too.
The only problem with New Orleans Square, I agree with you, I really like the New Orleans Square train station. The only problem is it always has the longest line because people mm-hmm. do get on at Main Street and it's the first stop. So not as many people get off for more people to get on,
right,
even in normal times.
Right, yeah.
And I found that the shortest wait is usually Toontown, especially if in the past, like Mickey the Magical Map and stuff was playing, mm-hmm. there wouldn't be hardly anybody in line. Or Tomorrowland. Because Tomorrowland, it's kind of like, you have to go look for it.
It is. It's a little hidden. Well, in other attraction news, cast members for the Davy Crockett's Explorer Canoes have been spotted in training. This means that this attraction will return to operation soon. No date has been announced by Disney yet, though.
I kind of hope these are going when we're there, because I actually had a really good time the last time we were there and went on it. And I want to, producer James wanted to go on them, but at the time, I was like, oh no, we got to do other things. So he was kind of mad that I went on them for D23. He's like, I thought you didn't like those things. And I'm like, I don't know, they were fun. So I hope that all of us, would you go on?
I'd go on, yeah.
I hope that the four of us can get on a canoe.
I would like to do it. This is going to sound weird, but I'd almost like to do the canoe in the morning.
Well, it'd be cooler then.
Well, and I just think it'd be a little more peaceful and serene.
Sure.
I don't know why, but I just think
we could do it one of the mornings we're there.
Or maybe an eve. No, they don't go too late. I don't know.
If Fantasmic's not playing.
For some reason, a morning sounds like it'd be cool. Even I just want to be on the river in the morning is what it is.
That, you just made me think of something. Mm. If Fantasmic is not playing, that means that the Mark Twain will have nighttime sailings, which is beautiful.
That would be cool.
I'd like to see what the...
That would be very cool.
Back area that they did for Galaxy's Edge looks like at night, because I'm sure that they do some type of lighting back there.
Yeah, for sure.
As we mentioned previously, there's been a snack shortage at Disneyland in the last couple of weeks, resulting in churros, Mickey pretzels, and chimichangas. Gasp, producer Vern says.
Can you imagine all of these things going in, like a churro? The fact that it was hard to find a churro in Disney parks in Disneyland is just crazy.
So to finish the sentence, chimichangas being unavailable on some days. The good news is the parks have started receiving orders again, and items are back in stock around the resort. The bread bowls that are famous for the resort have not returned yet, but are expected to as staffing ramps up and more locations open for guests, because they do make those bread bowls mm-hmm. on site, and yep. that location is not open.
Yep, the bakery is not open yet over on the Pacific Wharf. I know I like interrupted you, but that's how baffled I am about the thought of there not being churros, especially churros.
You should have interrupted
churros.
Me. Just that sentence didn't make sense if I didn't finish it.
But, like, Mickey Pretzels is also interesting, too, because I would, like, churros, I'm sure the supplier for churros doesn't only supply Disney parks. But obviously the pretzels, you're not finding a Disney-shaped pretzel elsewhere. So that was, the pretzels were a little bit more surprising to me. But I am glad that the snack shortage was short. It was like a snack apocalypse. For a little while there. Could you imagine, though? You're all excited to go to Disneyland
because
you haven't
been
able
to
go for over a year, and all you want is your churro on Main Street or wherever. And
maybe that's the problem.
They're not.
Maybe they placed an order. They had their initial bulk order, and everybody was like, I need churros.
The demand for churros just went through the roof, and they couldn't keep up.
And they were like, wow, we're getting four times more orders for churros than we normally do.
That's what's happening with Dole Whips. Everybody, you know, they're ordering all the Dole Whips, too. So it's just us, all of us crazy Disney people trying to, like, get those tastes and get those memories and
I'm just thinking of those poor Dole Whip machines that, like, they have got to keep filling them and filling them, and they've got to keep up trying to freeze everything.
They've got a hard job.
Yeah.
Mice Chat had a follow-up on the red car trolley charging location at the front of Disney California Adventure. With Avengers Campus at the end of the line, along with the barn for the trolleys, the current route has been modified. The trolley now only runs from the entrance to the park on Buena Vista Street to Hollywoodland and back, resulting in the need for the charging pad at the entrance station.
Yeah, so before, like, if it needed to be charged, they just take it backstage.
Yeah.
But because the... on the Avengers building that has the Quinjet on top,
yep. mm-hmm.
there's actually a set of doors that opens and the trolley goes through there. You can see the tracks. And that's where they, like, park them usually. But I think with the fact that the land is, you
theming,
know, line only
yeah.
and theming and all that stuff, you're not going to have it do that. So, very exciting that they're still going to have this, because they could have easily
yeah.
just been like, we're just not going to do it anymore.
Yep, that's very true.
So I'm very happy about that. And this has been a long time coming, because they did this, like, before the parks closed, I remember them reporting on this.
Yeah, you're right. It has been quite some time.
Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen has come up with another new beignet creation. This time, they're covered in Fruity Pebbles with a blueberry lemon icing. I don't know how to feel about this
yeah,
one.
I'm not sure how to feel about it. I wouldn't turn it down, but I don't think I'd want to order like a 3-pack on my own. This sounds like something I would want to try a bite of. I don't know if I could fully commit to it, though.
My question is, I feel like a beignet is a pretty perfect item.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just leave it alone.
Well, but see, you can order the classic. It's like a churro. You can still order the classic ones, but
I
it's
suppose.
Just fun to, like, switch it up, because you never know. Because it might be, like, great. It might be maybe
I feel like
not
fruity
so great.
Pebbles are really sweet anyway,
they
and
are.
Then adding it to the...
Mm. I'm really intrigued by the blueberry lemon icing. If I could just get it with, like, can you please put my Fruity Pebbles on the side, please? And just have the glaze.
They probably can.
The blueberry lemon icing glaze on it. That sounds.
They probably can do that.
Maybe they can. We'll have to ask when we're there if they still have it. Well, for those weekly tiers that liked the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, a brand new series is coming in July that might interest you. We are beyond excited about this. Behind the Attraction will premiere on July 16th. For those of you that are keeping track, yes, that is the day that we arrive in Anaheim for our trip. So we're going to pretend that this is like fun.
Also,
Disney Plus is looking out for me on my plane ride so I can watch this on the plane.
You know what else? I also read this that, and don't quote me, but from the way they described it on the Disney Parks blog, I think they're releasing all 10 episodes at once.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like Tag said, this will have 10 parts. Each episode will cover the behind the scenes of creating an iconic Disney attraction. Topics include the castles at the parks, the Jungle Cruise, It's a Small World, the Haunted Mansion, and more. I just can't wait. I'm so excited about this. We loved the Imagineering story. I joked that they needed to like continue making episodes because it was so great. So I think this is a wonderful follow-up to that. I even love, this is so dorky, but I even love the like attraction poster thing that they made for the like to promo this new series. It's just great.
So I got a couple things for you. One, I just checked on the poster, all episodes streaming
they
July 16th.
Are.
The other thing
I
you
need
want
to
pace
know, myself.
I know you haven't read it because I have it at my house and you haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the D23 magazine has a whole thing about this. You want to know something really interesting?
Tell me.
Do you know who spearheaded this?
Tony
Dwayne
Baxter.
The Rock Johnson.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You go, Dwayne.
Because he partnered with, because like he's part of this.
That's interesting.
And that's why the Jungle Cruise is one of the things on here, because he wanted to do something with the Jungle Cruise.
I don't know how you could do a Behind the Attraction series and not include the Jungle Cruise.
So
I just don't.
It sounds like they want to do more seasons beyond this one, so they didn't include like everything they could do.
Interesting.
And one of the things they said that they're including is like transportation systems.
Well,
so that might be
like
the monorail.
So you know what, I'm looking at this, right? We already know that like It's a Small World's a thing, and that the Haunted Mansion's going to be a
Star
thing,
Tours.
And a Jungle Cruise, and they talked about the castle. Mm-hmm. Well, the other things that we can see on here are the monorail, Space Mountain, the train, and then
is that
it
the
looks,
train or
oh,
oh
it
could,
be
the train.
It could be the train, or I guess it could be Casey Jr. I'm going to go with like the Disneyland Railroad or like the Walt Disney World Railroad.
I thought maybe Big Thunder Mountain, but I could be wrong.
Oh, could okay. There is a train, and we don't know which train it is, but there is a train.
Because these are like little cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Big Thunder. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Haunted Mansion, of course.
Haunted Mansion. And then we've got two different little areas for Star Wars. There's one that there's C-3PO and R2-D2, so I'd say that that represents Star Tours. But then we also have a... What is that? Kylo
TIE Ridge. Interceptor.
Yeah, TIE Interceptor, which that could be a behind the scenes of Rise of the Resistance.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see if these are actually Easter eggs and if those are what's going to be covered in this new 10-part series or if those were just random things that they chose.
It doesn't really matter. It's going to be exciting no matter what.
100%.
Yeah.
Very correct.
So definitely if you are D23 Gold members, check out the edition. I had such a problem. I was going to... So remember, you weren't with us. I went to see Cruella at the drive-in theater, mm-hmm. and I took last quarter's D23 magazine with me because I hadn't read it.
Sure.
Didn't read it, of course. But the other night, I read through that one. That one only had like 3 or 4 articles I was interested in. This one, I thought, oh, it'll be like the same thing. I'll get through this whole thing tonight. No. They had an article about the Jungle Cruise movie. They had an article about the Jungle Cruise and all the changes coming to it. They had an article about this. There's another article later on about something else theme park related. Like, it was packed with stuff I was actually interested in. So
nice.
This quarter's D23 magazine, definitely one to read, I think.
Very nice.
I think you're going to want to read it, too. I'll have to bring it over so you can read it when I'm done. I'll just try to finish. Maybe I'll try to finish it tonight. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer Vern will try to stump us with some Disney trivia. He's going to ask us 4 questions, maybe a bonus. We'll attempt to answer, and we'll get the correct answer after the discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, Vern?
All right, we're going to take a trip back into listener-submitted questions, now that I've cleaned up a bit of the stuff that we had left over from before the listeners were submitting. And then our bonus question tonight is going to be a little more of the house cleaning from the old stuff. So let's get started. Our first listener submitted question tonight comes from listener Om D. What did Mater's Junkyard Jamboree replace?
What did Mater's Junkyard Jamboree replace? I'm trying to think what was... There was like a little farming section.
I was
going to
say that was the farm. I can't remember what it was called.
Bountiful Valley
Farm. Yes, the Bountiful Valley Farm.
The reason I know that is because it is a Easter egg
yes.
in Avengers Campus.
Mm-hmm. I never visited the farm.
There wasn't much there, really.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was still there the first time I visited DCA and just I missed it or don't remember it, or if maybe it wasn't there.
It looked,
you know what I mean?
It looked like regular, like, horticulture, and there happened to be, like, a couple tractors parked in it. Literally, that's it.
Oh.
And then there was Bugs Land off in the distance.
Okay, maybe I do remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe I do remember
so
that.
So, Bountiful Valley Farm is what we're saying, right?
Yes.
And that's your final answer?
That is the final answer.
Okay. Question number 2, submitted by listener Donna S. What company sponsored the Indiana Jones attraction?
AT&T.
Yep, AT&T, yeah.
And
I want to say like wireless, little, but I think it's just AT&T.
They have the little decoder cards. That's the reason mm-hmm. I know that, because they had it on the cards.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. Question number 3, submitted by listener Ace. According to Landmark 3.5 in Toontown, what is Mickey's Toontown Hysterical Society's motto?
Mile marker 3.5. That's hilarious. I don't know this at all.
I don't know this at all.
What did you say? Ha ha ha. I don't know.
Oh, the times that I wish we were still video casting so people could see the look I gave you.
I mean, that's as good a guess as any. It's probably like it's Toontastic or something. I don't know.
Ooh, that's good.
Are those your final answers?
Yeah.
They are very sad final answers.
Okay. And regular round question number 4, submitted by listener Matthew J. What are the names of the two fortune tellers at Disneyland Park? Bonus if you know where they are.
There's one on Main Street in the Candy Palace, and then the other one is in the shops over by the exit of Pirates, like in between those two shops. I don't remember what either of their names are, though.
I don't think I even knew that they had names.
They do.
Well, the one had is a name tag, because the one on Main Street has a name tag.
No,
I remember there was a story about it.
That's not the fortune teller. That's the ticket taker at the theater.
Where's the fortune teller?
In the Candy Palace.
I don't know. You could put me down for a big old zero, Vern, for me. I don't know.
Or is it the Crystal Arcade? I get them confused, the Candy Palace and the Crystal Arcade.
Isn't the Crystal Arcade in Disney World?
I think that's what it's called in Disney World. Oh, maybe that's why I get. Maybe that's where it is. I don't know. Yeah, the Candy Palace, and over like in between the two shops at Pirates. So Pieces of Eight. I don't know what that little corridor is.
But what's
it called?
Like, what's the thing called?
I don't know. But it's that's where they're located. But I don't know what their names are.
Yeah.
And I feel like the one on Main Street in the Candy Palace is female, and I think the one in between the shops over in New Orleans Square is male. Don't quote me on that. That's just my gut.
I mean, that's what my memory is saying, too, but I don't know. So that's what we got for you, Vern, on that one.
Okay.
Matthew J. Whoo!
That was a good one.
And for your bonus question, going back into the old archives of before the listeners were submitting for us, the Haunted Mansion stretching room includes 4 pieces of art. One has the 3 men in the quicksand. The others feature characters that have been named. Can you tell me their names?
Well, we've got Sally Slater, who's walking the tightrope.
Oh, see, you know these much better than I do.
I don't know what the guy with, like, the dynamite is, what his name is. And I can't remember what the bride's name is off the top of my head.
Is it because it says it on their tombstones? No, I guess they wouldn't have tombstones.
No, the one, the bride... Constance, that's it. I can't remember Constance's name, but Constance is the old lady sitting on the tombstone.
Okay.
And then you've got Sally Slater, that's the tightrope walker. I don't know what the guy on the dynamite is. I don't know what his name is.
You'd think I'd be better at this since I built the puzzles and I would be looking at this, but honestly, I don't know.
Those are my 2 of the 3 guesses.
Awful this week.
Teresa, there's one more name with Constance.
Hatchaway.
No, who's she sitting on?
Oh, her husband. I don't know his name.
Well, it sounds like you're in my boat.
I don't remember his name. It's even on the tombstone. That's the one we like should know because you can actually physically
see
it.
You should, but you don't.
Lester Moore.
Lester?
Lester.
Yeah, Lester Moore. I don't know.
Okay. Final answers?
Yes.
All right. Well, listeners, how do you think they did? How did you do listening at home? Stay tuned until after the discussion topic, and we'll all find out together.
This week for our discussion topic, we are finishing up our interview with Devin from Disney Media Finance. The second part here kind of just jumps right into our conversation where it left off last week. So I hope you enjoy.
Let's see.
You were in Walt's apartment.
Yeah, so I hate to say it, but I've been able to visit his apartment twice.
Wow! So congratulations! That's pretty amazing.
One time was through that program I was just talking about. They brought us up there, and that was the better visit because definitely, like, we got to be up there for a while, and I think because of the group that we were there, like this leadership program, they kind of let us spread out and stay a while, and they let us like sit on the furniture and everything, and then they let us go out. So there's like a side outside patio that I didn't really realize exists. That's kind of like, I guess it's to the side of the firehouse, but you really wouldn't know it's up there because it's kind of covered. So we did that and that was really cool. But then the other picture I sent there, that's my, my team at work. And, it's actually pretty cool. Like if you work for, not a lot of people know, but if you work for Disney, like you can schedule to go do a tour up in the, apartment.
Cool.
Like they just charge your department like a small fee, like, you know, something, but it's pretty cool. So we did a team Disneyland trip back like a couple years ago and we went up and went in the apartment and Yeah, at that time, though, they didn't let us sit down or anything. Like, you guys are like, no, no, don't touch anything. Like, it was very, like, they had a plaid with us, and they were like, you know, stay away.
Right,
But it was cool. It was really cool being up there. They kind of, they give you the history and everything. So
you basically were Walt Disney because you've been in his office and in his
Yeah, well, I'll along that line, I'll just keep the, I'll keep the Walt Disney footsteps of Walt, like, you know, story going. So then that other picture at the top is the Dream Suite.
Oh, yes.
So that was
this.
Cool.
I don't know if you ever remembered this from being a kid, but this used to be the Disney Gallery.
Mm-hmm,
you used to be able to go in there and you could actually ask a cast member. They would give you a tour and they'd tell you, because it was supposed to be his apartment, his new apartment.
His live-in apartment.
That he would like host people at. Mm-hmm. And they did all this stuff and it was a great tour. And when they, I mean, the Dream Suite's beautiful, but.
It is.
I'm sad that that just like the Court of Angels was something previously that any guest could go and experience, same thing with when it was the Disney Gallery. These things have now become like exclusive things, which is kind of sad. Because I feel like anything that takes it from everybody and makes it exclusive kind of is a little sad.
Oh, see now, like,
but not to
like...
but not to down your experience.
No,
thinking it makes it more special because it's not like something you could always visit. So it's like, Disney bucket list.
I definitely see it both sides. Like, it's cool because you feel like, oh, man, this is so exclusive. But I definitely, I was the same way as you, Tech. Like, when they made it so you couldn't go up anymore for the gallery, I was like, oh, it was a little sad that when they finally closed that off. Yeah, it was cool.
Such a great location.
See, maybe
for
it was
because
I never got to, I never experienced either of those things.
Well, I think
so.
The
maybe
gallery,
that's why I'm not so sad because I didn't lose it.
Yeah, I think there was two things with the gallery. One, there wasn't really a good ADA way to get up there.
There wasn't. You literally walked up the like spiral staircases on the outside.
My mom actually did go in the ADA entrance to this. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the Court of Angels, I think it was. There a door that opens that's an elevator, and it takes you up to the back patio that's in the Court of Angels, and you kind of roll. She was in a wheelchair. We rolled her along, and you came in like through this. You actually went through a little section of like the prep kitchen for Club 33, and then you'd go into it. So we got to see like the prep kitchen of the really unglamorous section of prep kitchen. But and then we had to go through it again to go down.
And there's an issue there too, because you can't just have general public walking through
your kitchen.
So that sounds like.
But I miss it because it was such a cool experience, and being able to, you used to be able to go out on the patio and like look out over New Orleans Square and stuff, because it was all part of that.
It was really cool, and there still is the funny thing. I didn't realize it, the way they took us up there. There's another elevator that when they do the overflow queuing for Pirates, and it's if you're on the left side, and it's kind of like by where the treehouse is, there's an elevator over there as well, and you go up that way
as well,
and that connects it up into the Dream Suite.
They built that when they built the Dream Suite.
It wasn't there until more recently. That's right.
So they probably don't use that other elevator that goes through the Club 33 thing anymore.
Well, because that's probably Club 33 now.
Yeah,
but it's really neat. They have like. Every room has like a goodnight kiss button you can push that makes something magical happen in the room and everything. And I felt like, I mean, I'm always been like the biggest Disney nerd in my department, but like, you know, they were like taking us around and they're like, so what's significant about this room? And everyone in my team's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, well, that's the horse from the carousel in Griffith Park. And by like the end of the like tour, the like tour guy was looking at me, he's like, well, Devin, would you like to tell us what's important about this room? I was like, well, I will if you need me to.
Do you want to just change, like, we can just change outfits?
I'll do your job. That's
the dream job, though, because like, you know, for the podcast we talk about a lot of Disney things, but being like the official voice of the park and being able to tell the stories of the different rooms to people who don't know, that'd be such a cool because people think it's like so amazing too when they hear these stories. Like, I still think they're amazing, you know. I don't know, it's crazy.
100%.
So how long did you get to it? What, this is like the most jam-packed filled day, and you probably haven't even told us all the things you did. So you got to hang out with some new friend characters,
that's right,
for like 30-ish minutes. How long did you get to be in the apartment and in the Dream Suite?
The apartment, I think we were up there probably about 30 to 45 minutes. And then mm-hmm. the dream suite, I feel like it was like close to an hour because it's actually pretty large. Because, you know, the gallery tag, you remember, was pretty big. Oh, yeah. And then there were parts of the gallery that weren't even – or part of the dream suite that wasn't part of the gallery, right? So they really used the whole thing. And they kind of like, you know, you came up that elevator I mentioned. You went through this hallway and they were kind of telling you these about different pictures. And then you went out to a courtyard and then – went in and saw like the bathroom and a sitting room and different bedrooms. And, you know, they were telling us about, you know, cause I think they did all this when they did that year of a million dreams, right? Yep. That's when they redid it. And so they were telling us about like the people who got to actually stay up there and stuff when they won. And, yeah, it was really cool. And then, yeah, at the end, they let us go out on the courtyard and kind of hang out for a while. They didn't really mm-hmm. pressure us out. So we kind of just hung up there and kind of like, you know, that was on like a Tuesday at like 9 a.m. Like, you know, there wasn't that many people there, but we felt like, oh, peasants, hello. We're up here on our
court. That would be a fun like way to like people watch and like look down on everyone. Well, that sounds bad, but like just to like,
We didn't throw popcorn at people. No. But it was but fun. Like, it was really cool.
I like doing that in Tarzan's treehouse, like standing on the rope bridge and like watching people like people watching that way instead of like sitting.
Sure. And like a fun thing, sorry, is there's actually a Fantasmic button up there. So when people want to watch like Fantasmic, they actually you hit a button and it's like creates like certain lighting, so that way when you're up there, like the people who get somehow people get to watch Fantasmic from up there, they have like a certain feature up there for Fantasmic for when it like
that's cool
starts everything. It was really cool. It was like, man, there's all these things you just don't think about
because they're all there. Think of everything.
They used to do part of one of the dessert parties was up on that balcony for the Fantasmic, which was super awesome because it's a great view.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like right above that's the control tower area for
And now they have that like restaurant, like, well, again, maybe they'll bring it back now the parks are open, but I think they turned it into where you and like 15 people can spend $15,000 or something.
Right.
And as part of that, you get access to the dream suite and they give you that same tour. And then you get to watch like the shows from up there and everything. So they were telling us about that. We're like, oh guys, we could all pull $1,000.
Right? We talked about that, but we're like,
I know you're like, that's definitely like a mad money steep. Type thing. Yeah.
For the podcast, we have to not go to the parks for a few years, save up all of our pennies.
Well, you write it off as a business expense, guys. Yeah, that's what you got
to
do.
But we have to have the money to actually business expense it is the problem.
That's,
I don't know what you think crazy. We do. I know that you transfer millions of dollars around, but we don't all have access to the Disney finances. Yeah,
the Disney credit card, right?
So the people that were in the group that you got to go with that was like this group, like are they all just Disney people or?
Yeah. So that program, it was, again, people from all around the world. There were some people there from Australia, some people there from Japan, all different parts of the company too. So people who worked in like programming, people who worked in HR, people worked in legal, consumer products. It was really like a smattering of people. And I got super lucky that I got to do it because it's usually like, you know, it's very much like a seniority type thing, you know, like, so it's a lot of like VPs and stuff. And then I was at like one of our company all hands and we were doing some exercise and I paired up with our HR representative at the time who was really nice. And we were just talking and I told her, I was like, oh yeah, you know, there's this program. She's like, oh yeah, Disney Way One. I was like, I would love to do that. And she's like, oh yeah. Just keep in touch with me. Okay. And then I was like, I will. And so then I just like one day randomly was like, hey, and she's like, oh, you know, we actually had a cancellation in 2 months. So do you want to go? And I was like, yes, perfect. I do. So it was very fortuitous that I was able to do it. But, I wasn't going to say no.
You're a lot better than I'd be. I'd be emailing her like every day, like anything. And then she'd just be like I'm going to send you just to stop talking to me. About
an auto script in your Outlook. Just
your email.
It was great. But yeah, so there's all sorts of people in there. And that was the cool thing too, because I've like kept in touch with a lot of those people. And some of the other pictures that you're seeing are connections I made through that event. Like there's pictures in there of like we took a tour of the KABC building, like which is like the, you know, the local ABC news building in LA, and that was one of the people I met on that program. And so it was really cool, like just things like that. I'm like, all these like cool connections to make and everything. Yeah,
so cool. So I'm trying to think so we've spent like 3-4 hours doing super cool like things that people don't normally get to do. did you get to do like attractions? Did you get to take a trip on the Lily Bell?
So because it's only like a 2-day thing, it's pretty packed. And so you're in like the Disney University building for part of it too. And they kind of are giving you some of that stuff. So, you know, we did get to go into like the Blue Bayou and kind of have like a private tasting with like the head chef. And they brought us out like the Monte Cristo's and everything. Yeah. And so that was, I think I might've included a picture. That picture is really random. I was like, I'll explain it to you, but that's why we got to be in there. So that was kind of cool. We didn't get to do any ride operations. The closest thing was probably the Soarin story I told you about that's where neat. We kind of got to see, but I'm trying to think, cause it's been 3 or 4 years now, but it was just a lot of like fun little behind, like honestly, part of the coolest thing was just like being behind the scenes and cutting in and out of like entryways and all of a sudden like, oh, we're here, and oh, now we're in California Adventure, like how did that happen? So it was very disorienting from being someone who, like, even though I've worked for Disney a long time, the parks are like their own thing, like you're either like a parks person or not a parks person. I'm definitely not in with the parks people, so like that's still very foreign to me. So it's pretty cool.
I'm telling you right now, since you're in finance, I want you to take this and I want you to do something with it for all of us. Is talk to your counterpart in whoever does like parks financy stuff and tell them if they could figure out a way to with lawyers and everything to have a backstage tour that people would pay to go on this backstage tour. I know. Easy money.
You know,
there's a lot of things like that I wonder.
Limiting it, like you'd have to charge a ridiculous amount because so many people would want to take that tour.
That's it would true. Be very popular. One of the pictures in there, and this kind of ties in cool with your guys' podcast, is you'll see there's a picture of, like, it's really hard to make out, but it's in California Adventure, and that is Mitty on the back of, like, a golf cart. But she's dressed up like a detective. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, the Minnie's Moonlit Madness program, they've been doing it for, like, almost 30 years, I want to say. So I've done it pretty much every year I've been at the park or at the company, and annually it's a trivia / scavenger hunt night in either Disneyland or California Adventure. You're a team of four and you're roped together, like you're literally like 6 inches apart from each other. You have to stay roped and you have like 90 minutes to go around the park and solve puzzles, and it's all after hours. They do it in like, you know, January when it's a little bit slower, and there's like a trivia portion in the beginning, like a 50 question Scantron multiple choice trivia thing, and every year is a different theme. So there's like, you know, music was a theme one year, like the 80s, like film noir, like really random DuckTales. They've had really random themes, and they pick a local charity every year, so like your team's entry goes to that charity. So it's for a good cause, and it's definitely like a park centric thing, but they do open it up to the whole company, and it's like you have to be quick to sign up. So every year I would put like a reminder on my calendar to like sign up at 9 a.m. that day to get in there. Yeah, like, you know, we always try to do, me and my friend, we do it every year, and like, you know, there's like 300 or 400 teams that do it, and like we've cracked the top 20 a few times. So like we try to like represent, because it's always like parks, and then we're like Disney corporate, like we're like the one non-parks team that makes it into like the higher scoring brackets. We're like, yeah, we did good. So that's always really cool. And then that last picture, this, I don't know if you guys know about this, but I live in 30 miles north of like Burbank in LA County, like in an area called Santa Clarita. And there's
I know it because of the Netflix.
Santa Clarita Diet, right?
Yeah.
And there's a ranch up there called the Golden Oaks Ranch that Walt purchased in like the 50s or 60s. I think like at the time he purchased like 500 or 600 acres. Now I think Disney might own like 1,000 acres, but it's literally like an open space ranch. Randomly, you wouldn't know it's there, that all of Hollywood like uses, not just Disney. They like rent out, and they have like back lots there, because the actual Disney studio doesn't really have a back lot anymore. Sure, there's some sound stages, but there's not much there. So they do a lot of like the back lotty type stuff up there. They've filmed like everything you could think of there, like, you know, Disney and non-Disney movies. Commercials are always filming there, because there's a like something you guys would have watched more recently is in WandaVision, in the scene where they're doing the talent show, like that's the back lot there. They have like a city set up there. Neat. So it looks like a city, but they also have like, you know, a neighborhood section with houses, or they have just, they can make it look like anything.
It's kind of like what you see on the Universal back lot, where you got like New York sets. And
exactly. So we organized, like, this girl on my team, she's like she's like the pusher. She gets everything. Like I'm always like, email them, get us a tour. And so she set it up and they did like a hayride tour for us. And we went around and like, we were literally on the back of this truck and on hay barrels, and they drove us around and we went to different sets. Like we got to walk onto the set of filming This Is Us, like randomly. Like it was cool. And we had lunch at the end at this house, like Walt's cabin kind of thing there. And like, you know, they were like, oh yeah, you know, when they were filming Mary Poppins, Julie Andrews came here for like a weekend to get away while she was learning her lines and everything. We're like, really? And then I realized that I literally live one freeway exit away from this place. So I drive by it every day and I'm like, oh, hey, there's that place. So anyway, that's another cool. If you guys are ever out and they're like trying to do another like fun Disney landmark kind of thing, like not a lot of people know about the Golden Oaks Ranch, but it's a pretty pop, like important part of like Disney filming.
And it's interesting because I've heard of the ranch, but I guess I never realized where it was. So that's neat that it's right there.
They kind of call Santa Clarita like Hollywood North in a lot of ways. So they film a lot of there. So that's picture there, I guess that like that's kind of looks like a courthouse, but my coworkers told me apparently that that's like the same shot like Beyonce is in a Beyonce music video or something. Apparently if there's some song that she walks out of those doors, and that's why we took that picture there. I was like, okay, I didn't know that, but
that's hilarious.
I'm Google satellite viewing this because that's
Tag
so cool.
That's what Tag likes to do.
During the pandemic, actually, crazy. If you search on YouTube, someone actually flew a drone through it and did like all these, like, I don't know if they were supposed to, but it's a really video they did. And it like they went and they flew through all the different like locations. So if you search like Golden Oaks Ranch, like drone, you could probably find that really cool video someone did, assuming it's still up there.
Right. Unless someone got in trouble.
Yeah. 10 months ago. Here it is. Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool shot. So you can kind of see it's like out in the middle of nowhere.
You know what? I'm like just some of these stills. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that building from WandaVision.
Yeah. So it's
yeah. This
cool.
is definitely that like section where they
that
did
like
the stuff.
Town square thing. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Wow.
I'm definitely gonna look at some of these. There's actually a few of these like drone video like things on YouTube. I'll have to check that out later.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's. I know that was a lot, but just wanted to give you guys like a flavor of all these cool things maybe don't get talked about
a
lot.
How dare you come on and talk about cool things that people are going to want to hear about?
Yeah, I was like, well, when you told me, oh, yeah, you want to be on the show, I was like, well, I can't talk about my job for an hour. Right. I got to figure out some fun stuff to talk
about. Like, nobody wants to hear numbers for an hour.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I still think that your job, even though like some people, right, it's not as glamorous, it's not the parks, it's not like
without money nothing would happen
or whatever, but it's still really interesting because
I learned
a lot about like how things work, because never would I have thought that it was that complicated to get a Disney movie onto a Disney platform.
Right. The one thing I love about Disney Plus and these shows like Mandalorian and stuff is the fact that it feels like a movie, like the quality is movie quality.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you watch it. Like I've watched some episodes recently of like TV shows where the graphics were like, you know, there's an explosion or something. And I'm like, that looks terrible because their budget isn't very big. But the fact that Disney's giving the budget to things like The Mandalorian and WandaVision and stuff and Falcon and Winter Soldier, like their stuff looks good. Like you could put it next to a Marvel or a Star Wars movie and it looks just as good.
Oh yeah.
And I think the budget's exactly the same. I mean, they're literally, that's why the strategy isn't like it's quality, not quantity, right? They're not rolling out like a ton of like half done things. It's like, oh, well, we're going to spend the same money we would have spent on a big movie, but just split it up into six or eight episodes and then put it out on our streaming service. Yeah.
Makes sense.
We love Disney Plus though. Just to be clear.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's such amazing. A great service, and it has a lot of good content. Like I just finished watching The Clone Wars on it because I'd never watched The Clone Wars, so it was fun to go back and watch The Clone Wars on Disney Plus.
Like, what's something that's on Disney Plus that you know that somebody might enjoy that maybe has been kind of overlooked that you would recommend?
That's a great question. I really liked the movie Safety. If no one has watched it,
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I think Thompson said
terrible.
Safety was good.
It's very Remember the Titans.
That was a good movie.
It's based on a true story about a guy who plays safety for Clemson football team. And he, in essence, is having to kind of like also be the father figure for his like 10-year-old brother. And it's like the struggle he's dealing with. They're trying to keep his scholarship. Anyway, if you Google it, it was a real story that happened where it was a big deal because he's like the first player who successfully challenged the NCAA to allow like them to give him aid to help his situation and keep his scholarship. So, so that was a cool one. For all the Star Wars fans, I mean, the Bad Batch that just came out is really cool because it's a continuation of Clone Wars, which is really neat.
I can't believe James and I haven't watched this week's episode yet, actually.
We just watched it last night. It was really good.
Is it? Okay, good.
It was good. It's kind of like more of a side story, right? It's not like key arc, but it's still good. It's not, yeah, there is, you'll appreciate it because I think there actually is a pretty cool tie-in back to the original trilogy.
Oh, good.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's like a very indirect tie-in, which I haven't confirmed yet it is, but I think it is, and I need to Google it that it actually is.
So anybody listening will probably get emails now.
I mean, you guys probably already, but I love like the Inside Pixar and yes. One Day at Disney, all those type things. I'm so glad
they're doing those. And like we were talking about before, I really hope that they keep kind of, I mean, not like a whole big dump, but just keep kind of slowly putting stuff like that in. Cause that's just so cool.
There's two things I love about them. One is like the One Day at Disney shorts. Those are great because a lot of times, like, the reason I would watch, like, YouTube videos is, like, I want to quickly eat my lunch. I've got 15 minutes to watch something while I eat. Mm-hmm. So I would go on Disney Plus, and those things are, like, 8-10 minutes. So I could get, like, through two little mini episodes, and it was great for that. So when you don't have time to sit for a half an hour or whatever. But also, I remember when we were at D23 and they announced One Day at Disney, I don't know how you felt about it, but at the time I was like, well, this sounds weird. But actually, I've really enjoyed it. Like, I'm glad that they've made it. Because at first I was like, well, this seems like propaganda. Because they were talking about the book that they were coming out with and like all this stuff. And it just seemed like a weird announcement that they were really proud of. But now that I've watched it, like, I'm really glad that they did it. I think it's a great view into their stuff.
I think it's interesting because like Devin's position, when you think of people that work at Disney, you don't think of every single cog and wheel and every single piece of the puzzle, you know, but like obviously there needs to be people that are like in accounting for Disney.
Sure.
Well, and the behind the scenes stuff, like we watched that one about Frozen 2 or whatever. The razor thin timeline that they have and how close they got to release, I was like, this is crazy.
I really liked that one. The making of Frozen 2.
How are these people not in like the hospital for like anxiety issues and like health problems?
Stress, yeah.
Because the stress, it's crazy.
The other cool thing that I like that they've done is that we've gotten these big things like The Mandalorian, of course, and then also with WandaVision. And then they've done these kind of like after the season's wrapped up and we're still wanting more. They've now done these like behind the scenes things about it.
Definitely.
Which, sometimes, right, you don't want spoilers, but then other times it's really interesting to watch because just getting a, like, seeing how they did kind of, sort of, you get an idea of how they did it. You still are like, I still didn't understand how they did that. That's amazing. You mean so they weren't walking on these alien planets?
I know.
Yeah, watching that stuff in The Voice is just crazy for Mandalorian.
It's nuts. It's
I can't wait to see more stuff use that technology.
The thing
I think about, too, is the actors. I'm like, you're just in this, like, green bubble. How did you...
Well, the void, though, is actual video, so they don't have to pretend as
I know,
much.
But still, like, I don't know.
Well, my friend and I were joking. We're like, oh, they should start using that around the rest of Disney. Like, oh, Disney Cruise Line can't get off into sea? Just put the void around a ship, and people will never know.
You know, that'd be perfect, because all the people that, like, are worried about, like, seasickness
or anything.
No problem.
Well, that's what the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is.
Yeah, that really is. That's
there you
true.
Go.
A cruise
that's
ship so on land. It's going to be amazing.
So, Devin, of the things that were recently announced, so we know Hocus Pocus 2 we've mentioned, I think we've mentioned Loki, what are you looking forward to for you and your family to sit down and enjoy?
Loki is top of the list. I'm so excited for Loki. I think that's going to be great. Just how, you know, when you watched Endgame and you know you saw Loki jump through into it, you just knew, you're like, oh, that's how the show's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just, that looks really great. My wife's really excited for Hocus Pocus 2 because that was like one of her favorite movies growing up. So definitely that's going to be great.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yes. I am excited that they did announce that they've got the originals back.
I'm just worried that it's going to be like, we really love the Minions in our household.
Oh.
And when they made a Minions movie, the Minions movie was like, okay, these are great side characters. Perhaps the idea to make a movie just with them was not a good one. So I'm hoping that whatever they figure out for Hocus Pocus 2 will be good and not like, oh, we thought we wanted more, but really it's not that great.
I think the thing I'm excited about the most too, and I don't think it's supposed to come out until next year, but it's the next big Star. Well, I guess now they've announced other stuff like the Boba Fett show, but the, but the show that's basically set with the same people from Rogue One, that's set like before the events of Rogue One. So it's what's his, like, Diego Luna, the actor, and them. So it's going to be like, you know, a heist type show. So it's those type people that are going to be in it. So I think that's set to come out in like 2022. But and that's been publicly discussed. Yeah. So that's not.
I missed that one. I'm like, what? This is what?
Oh, that one's coming.
I think
that
I got
coming.
Distracted.
It was
by
actually back
like
when
Hocus Pocus 2.
When they first announced the show, it was like that and The Mandalorian were like the two things that were like in production. And it's just that that was like COVID, I think, pushed the production of that one back quite a bit more. Because I think they're filming that mostly in Europe. So so but it is being I might already be done being filmed because I know they were back to production months ago. So but I loved Rogue One, so I thought that
Rogue One,
I think,
is my favorite Star Wars movie.
It's fun, right? Like, because it's like a good blend of like the original stuff, but then it's definitely one of the better ones that Disney's done since taking on like the IP.
I love space battles, and it had like the best space battle. The fact that he had the idea and rammed the thing and went in, I was like, yes, this is what I'm here for.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing I liked about it too is it had a really good mix of like action as well as like storyline and like good comedy. I can't ever remember that droid, but I love that droid.
K2?
Yes, K2.
I love K2. K2, I want a whole show with K2. Maybe I don't. It's like a minion. But I love K2.
You think you do.
But also, one thing I liked about that movie that makes it so unique among the Star Wars movies is none of those characters needed to go beyond that movie.
So they
could die, and like you don't see that a lot. Like, your heroes don't normally die, and the fact that they basically killed off everybody almost.
And I don't think that was originally how it was supposed to end either. I think they went back and reshot that sequence, and I was like, oh, that was such more powerful that they just ended that way. It was so cool.
That's what we've wanted Disney to do for a long time, and release the vault, and they've just done. Disney Plus is so popular because they've done all the stuff everybody's kind of wanted.
Well, but the thing that's beautiful about it is how they couldn't have really done it before Disney Plus, because it would have had to go somewhere.
And the price point is wonderful. Like, we got in at D23, so we pay like $2 and something a month or something.
The, like, three-year deal kind of thing. Yeah.
But even if I had to pay full, I think it's more than worth what I get out of it.
Yeah, so, no, it's a two deal, exactly.
Devin, of your, like, day-to-day normal duties, because we've talked about, right, the really cool things and, like, the behind-the-scene tours or whatever, what's something that you maybe get really excited about or think is really fun that you get to do day-to-day?
Yeah.
I don't think you get to do this, but, like, do you get to, like, do things like write checks out to, like, here, Robert Downey Jr., here's your cut.
It's just so funny because I'm such a jerk. I'm like, when his pivot table works correctly or something, you know?
Honestly... That is a good moment when there is things like that where you're not far off.
I do IT. That's why I'm always thinking of that type of thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, my boss, everything has to be pivotable. That's his rule. Like, don't give me something if I can't put in a pivot. No, I mean, you're not far off, Teresa. Like, I think definitely when I see some of the agreements that come through that are like not yet announced, and I'm like reading about it, and it's kind of like, oh, this is going to be really big news when it goes out. Yeah. Like, oh, they're on the verge of negotiating with this company to get this movie or something like that. So that stuff's really cool. And like,
how do you keep that secret?
Because I don't want to get fired.
Yeah, job security.
I talk to my other friend. I mean, I tell my wife about it, but she's not telling anyone. But I talk to my other friends at work who we all can't tell anybody. So we just kind of have to talk to each other. It is tough, though, because some things I'm like, oh, I really want to tell people.
I would get fired.
Yes,
I have I told you I use Discord with my friends, and most of them don't work at Disney, and a lot of them are big Disney fans. So every so often, like, I'll try to drop like really subtle hints on things, like where I'm like, there's something I just heard about that you're going to really think is cool. But I won't, you know, I'll maybe post like a reference picture. I was like, if you can figure it out, that's on you. But I didn't tell you what it is. That's cool. And then I just like, which is dumb as it is, like at the end of our fiscal quarters, and we kind of like, I was saying, having to compare things back to forecast, I kind of like being able to like tell the story of like what happened. And it's kind of cool to be like, oh, like we, you know, did we beat forecast because of this movie didn't perform well for these reasons and blah, blah, blah. And like, I think it's because like when I went into college, like I actually went in thinking I was going to be like an English or like philosophy major. And so I have this like liberal arts analytical side of me that I still think wants to get out. And so like, I do like being able to still like craft a story. So it's, you know, they say Disney's a bunch of storytellers, right? So that's like my my contribution is like telling the story of the financial side of things. So
that must be so interesting, though, to be able to look at numbers and figure out, because I'm sure Disney, like everybody, like tracks so many different points of data, to be able to look at it as a whole and be like you were just saying, oh, this is probably why it didn't work out, or and then you know. So right now for school, I'm taking a project management class, and they're talking about like all this stuff. But one of the big things is that at the end of every project, you do see, this is bad. This is why I failed the test and I'm studying some more. You do like an analysis afterwards, like after it's closed out, you do like a, what, you know, I can't remember what it's called, but like, it's like a breakdown of like what, what lessons learned. It's a lessons learned. And then, you know, next time you do a project, like you take those lessons learned and you try to do it better. So I assume with all the data points that Disney has, and we talk about this with the parks with like ticketing strategies and annual passes, it'd be so cool to just be able to tell a story like that. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are using data more than they ever have to make decisions, right? And so, you know, everything's about data these days. And, but yeah, it's cool. You know, it definitely is like helps your mind stay sharp and just be able to look at things a little differently. This year is just throw a wrinkle into everything because, you know, for it was sort of autopilot for a number of years where like, oh, the movie did great because it's Disney and we it's a Marvel movie and it made X dollars. But this year it was like, oh, well, with COVID, like blah, blah, blah. So I can't wait to not have to like explain things because of COVID. It's just been such a thing this year. But
what is something with your job that is better now than it was before COVID?
I'll definitely say I don't have a commute anymore, which is kind of nice. You know, my daughter was born a year ago, so I got to be home with her this whole year. So that was really great.
Yeah.
You know, being with my kids, but besides the personal side of it, the actual job side, that's a really good question. I guess it's just like a byproduct of the fact of the product I'm supporting with Disney Plus. It's just it's just COVID almost fast-tracked things. So in a lot of ways, like, and I think we're all as consumers the beneficiaries of it, because it's just we're getting all this great content that we may not have gotten as quickly, or more dollars are getting pumped into investment than quicker than they may have before. And so I think now just makes my job busier and more complicated, but I guess seeing how quickly things are evolving and how, you know, because there's Disney Plus, but then my boss and my team, we also look at Hulu, and like there's a whole Hulu team as like, you know, another streaming side. So how those two are kind of interacting with each other and like the integration of things and stuff. So yeah, it's like a roundabout answer, but I guess really more so just that it's created like a better product that I support, and it's just put more emphasis on that product. So it almost feels like, okay, I'm supporting a pretty important product at Disney, which is pretty neat. I mean, not that Disney Plus was ever not going to be, but you know, it definitely was like what was keeping everything going the last year. You know, it's cool. It's neat. It's like Tag was saying earlier, it's kind of like just like your job, but then sometimes you got to step back and you're like, it's not lost to me that like, oh, this is cool. Like it's something that like a lot of people would probably want to do this if they had a choice. And so I do try to like, you know, even on like days everyone has where you're like, oh, I'm just dealing with bureaucracy or I'm dealing with stuff that annoys me. Like you try to remember like, okay, there's still some cool magical stuff about this. And you know, I'm pretty lucky to be able to do what I'm doing.
So. You work for a company that is so revered over the, you know, all over the world as being like a, you know, quality standard and brings so much happiness to people.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be something about that, you know, when you're having a bad day that you're like, you know what, we somewhere, even though my day wasn't great, somewhere in the world there's people that are so much happier because of the work I'm doing, you know, as part of the team.
I try to remember, I'm not making these shows, but I like to think that like, you know, my little contribution at least helps the whole machine going. So that's cool.
you're in charge of the money. So you're very
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He's got the purse strings.
You're like, we were joking before, you're like Scrooge McDuck. So,
yeah, it's true.
But, my question was, what does your family think of your career at Disney? And like, what does your little one, your little guy think? Because he's old enough to like go to the parks, obviously.
Yeah.
Littlest one is not experienced.
Yeah. We just took her for the first time like a week ago, got her her first set of ears. So that was fun.
Cute.
I mean, she didn't really know what was going on, but it was fun.
Right. Still.
Yeah, my family loves it. I mean, my wife's a big Disney fan as well. Like we watch Disney Plus most nights and, you know, you know, she grew up, her favorite movies were like Sleeping Beauty and Little Mermaid and everything. So it's just, it's fun. You know, we're very much like a, just a Disney type family, I guess. So it works out well. And being able to go to the parks is great. Although it's like, so it's actually kind of tough to go to the parks right now, because it's like, even we can't get in with our passes.
Yeah,
like we can use our comp tickets that we get every so often. And thankfully, well, not thankfully, but because of COVID, I had a lot of them build up.
Sure,
so now I just
sure.
need to use them. So I'm like, okay, I'll get in that way. But taking my son is like the coolest thing right now, because he is at that age. Like right before the shutdown, he was getting there where like he was excited to see characters and he would run up and hug them. And so when we went back a couple weeks ago and we came in, you know, into Main Street, and he saw the like Fab Five up on the train station, you know, he was so excited. And, but then like Donald wasn't there at the time. He's like, oh, where's Donald? So, you know, he's he's very quick to realize. And but yeah, so it's been great to like just see things through his eyes again. I know every parent says that, like you see things through your kid's eyes and stuff. But, you know, as a Disney fan, as supporting the company and like, you know, and then having him now, it's just fun to be able to do that. And I don't know. And I'm almost glad I don't work at the parks, because it's the park side is always still kind of new to me. Like,
sure,
you know, the movie side and all that. Yeah. I know a lot of stuff that's happening. So sometimes maybe like the big announcement isn't as big to me, but like, I often hear about stuff happening on the parks on like your podcast before I hear about it, like at work. Cause it's just such a different world. So, thankfully it's still big enough that I can kind of get excited about that stuff as well.
That's cool. So you were saying like that you're obviously a very big Disney fan and you're kind of in a Disney family. Would you say a lot of your coworkers are also Disney fans, or, you know, I always am curious what type of people work at Disney. Is it all Disney nerd type people, or are there some people that are like, oh, it's a job, it's a good company?
It's a range.
You know?
It's a huge range. There's literally people who probably never use their Silver Pass, like never go to Disneyland. Like it's just a job
can
to
just
them.
Give it to us.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people it's like, oh, to them, they work in the entertainment industry.
Sure.
They don't really care that it's Disney or not. And like they may go work at Netflix a year from now. Like, you know, they're just kind of doing that. I think it's definitely more than 50% are Disney fans to different degrees. There's definitely like super fans. You don't find as many of the super, super fans, I feel like, in other functions as you do as like parks employees. Like, I feel like there's, and maybe that's just because you don't have the like connection interaction with guests on a daily basis and that constant reaffirmation of like Disney magic and everything. So, but it is interesting the range you get, but I would definitely say it's more Disney fans than not to some extent. Because I've like had a good hand in hiring most of my team, I've made sure that most of my team are pretty big fans. So we at least are a pretty cool cluster that we can all go to Disneyland together and have a really good time.
Well, you know, you were talking, I think you're totally right. Because I think, you know, when you work at the parks, you're like embodying Disney.
Oh,
you know, you are the face of Disney. When you're working, you know, when you're working behind the scenes, you know, you're doing stuff and you're, you know, you're the gears in the machine making things work, but it's not as glamorous, I guess. Because like even when I worked at, and you said you worked at a movie theater. When I worked at the movie theater, people loved the fact that I worked, because people like going to the movies. So they like the fact that like, oh, it must be such a cool job that you're around this all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think the people like at the parks, they look at people there and like, you must have the coolest job, because like, you know, and for us, the super nerds, like it's so cool to talk to you, because it's like, even though you're like the numbers guy or whatever, or the finance guy, it's like, that's really exciting to us too, because like, you're a part of this whole thing. Like you can't, if your whole department didn't exist, so much stuff wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And it's cool to hear that. It's nice to hear that like reaffirmation from other people. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, I feel like there's more people who are fans of the product at Disney than most jobs. Like, I feel like most people, like, you know, you're like, not a lot of people are like, not to diminish anything here, but like, people aren't going and like, I work for Wells Fargo because I'm a huge Wells Fargo fan,
but people probably
do seek out Disney because they had some experience with Disney as a kid or something like that.
Yeah. So, you're absolutely right.
I think
that's what we've heard from guests and fans and everything.
Yeah. Very, very true.
Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we did not talk about?
Well, there's this whole other story.
Settle. So 2 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. No. Put on a pot of coffee. I've got a lot to tell you. You know, there's probably are some other randomly things that pop up. But no, I mean, I think I just try to think of like a lot of cool, like little one-off things that like have popped up over time and give you an idea of like what I do. You know, it's, I think overall, just like my overall thing is like Disney's given me a lot of opportunities to do things I never expected I would be able to do. Like, yeah. like even like I didn't mention this, but like back when I supported the video game business for like 4 years, I got to go to E3 every year, which I was like, I didn't think I'd get to do that. And growing That's up, cool. like as a kid who like all I did was play The Legend of Zelda and Mario, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. So, you know, it's just little stuff like that. But no, I mean, I think we've gone over enough that
working with Disney Plus now, do you not get to go to what's like the do you get to go to like Comic-Con and stuff because like they have the show, you know, I guess you wouldn't probably get to go to that, but
yeah, I don't. I mean, there definitely are like people on like the marketing and like brand development side will get to go to those type things. So unfortunately, like I'm like not high on the list of like that kind of stuff, but it's
Do you
okay.
want money for your project? I think you should send me a ticket.
I know, right?
Oh, look,
I
gotta there's enough room in the budget for one more ticket.
I gotta start getting more aggressive.
It would be a shame if your line item disappeared out of the budget.
Yeah, I don't know. So we just wrote off that project. So. Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It's like
a Cusco, like, I don't know, somebody's deleting stuff. I don't know.
I'm just happy to like be able to like be part of it. And like, yeah. honestly, when I get to like kind of just see like, you know, look at a list of like, oh, this is stuff that's on the radar for the next 3 or 4 years and they haven't announced some of it yet. Like, I kind of get some satisfaction of like, ooh, I'm just excited. There's these cool things coming and people don't know about it yet. And people will be really excited when they do come out. So,
well, and I think it's nerdy, but I think it's also interesting to see because, right, you're seeing the number side of things. Yeah. You're seeing more like yeah. dollars or whatever. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see like be doing stuff for like WandaVision yeah. for whoever, you know, forever. I don't even know how long it takes to make something like that happen. Forever. Years. And then all of a sudden, like seeing it, like mm-hmm. what the finished product was, because you yeah. just got to see this basically the dollar signs. You didn't yeah. get to see. What
oh,
those dollar signs.
That's what they spent their $3 million
whatever.
On.
But you know yeah. what I mean? I think it'd be interesting because you get to see this one just tiny little speck of this whole big
no,
project.
No, it's true. It's funny you bring that up because like I just found out recently that there's these opportunities that you can sign up to like audit productions. Like you
what?
help the like film studio accounting team who that's their job. Like their mm-hmm. job is literally as productions are happening to go out and audit these productions. Cause I guess when like these movies are made a lot of times, it's like third party companies that are doing a lot of the production accounting. It's not Disney accountants. And so we'll have Disney people go out and just make sure everything is good and everything, but
sure,
they always
yeah.
welcome like guests cause they don't have enough people. So I kind of gotten to know this team more since working on Disney Plus, and they were like, hey, just so you know, like, you can do this. So they sent out this list of like all these code names and I'm like, oh, that date looks good. I'll just do that one. And yeah, I like signed up for it and like found out that it's for Captain Marvel 2. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I have no idea what I'll do. Like I might literally just be looking at like payroll reports or something, but
still,
just the kind of like this like cool yeah. little insight into some stuff yeah. that like on a production, I'm like, ah. And it was like a two-sided like reason I did it. Cause like in pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID world, apparently like they get to go travel to do these things a lot.
Oh.
So this team has gotten to like fly out to like the UK to like on the Star Wars set and stuff. And I was like,
That'd
how do I get to do that? They're like, well, we're really rewarding the people who are helping us right now with these remote audits. I was like, sign
Perfect.
Me up.
Yeah.
I was like, don't forget I helped you.
Well,
wow.
can you imagine
That's
like
cool.
like you could be doing like payroll report audits, but you could also be like, go on set and see like, are they actually spending that much on catering or whatever?
I know.
Like,
I don't know
Let
if that's how it works, but that's what I'm
food.
Hoping how it works.
Let me just check. I need to fly first class with you to make
yes.
sure it was
yeah,
worthwhile.
Of course. Naturally.
So do you guys have internships that people could come work with you guys?
There are. No, there is. There actually are. There actually is a similar almost to like the Disney College program at the parks. We have a thing in accounting and finance at Disney called like the like the finance and accounting rotational program, and it's geared for people coming right out of, well, it doesn't have to be right out of college, but a lot of times it is. And like it's like a 2-year program where people get
oh,
to
wow.
go do different things. Like every 6 months they jump to a different function
oh.
and then the whole idea is, and they get a full-time job at the end of it, and it kind of sets them up in like a path they want to do. And
That's
and then
awesome.
There are also just like college internships. There's MBA internships they have as well, specifically MBA internships. So
thank you so much for your time today, Devin. We learned so many things.
You know what I love about these interviews?
You never know.
We never know what we're going to talk about. And by the end, I'm so surprised and I feel so much more informed about it. It's
right?
amazing.
It's really cool. So, I mean, you're a current cast member, as we already know. But if you were to maybe not work in the behind-the-scenes
yeah.
stuff,
yeah.
at your current job, what would you do if you could work at Disneyland? And you can make up a role. We're totally cool with that.
Yeah, no, I thought about this, and like part of me wanted to say like, oh, like Imagineering, creative exec, yeah, or something. But actually, the more I thought about it, so I one of my you know, other than you guys, one of my favorite podcasts, mm-hmm, is The Sweet Spot, and so, mm-hmm, the more I've, you know, I've read their books and everything, and I think like I honestly might go with like custodial, because like it I'm just seems you. Like a fun job. Like, you know, you get out on your feet, you get to interact with people, you get to go behind the scenes. Like, the more, mm-hmm, I've realized, you know, as a kid, I just thought, oh, they just pick up the trash, you know, right, and like that doesn't seem like a fun job. And now or I'm like, oh man, messes. they have the coolest job in the park. They get to do all this fun stuff. So yeah, that's going to be my answer. I'm going to go with custodial. You know, why not?
I feel like custodial and Lynn and Ken on The Sweet Spot and in their books have talked about this, where they have keys to like everywhere. Like, mm-hmm, they get to go, well, yeah, and do all types of crazy stuff. You know, if you work attractions, like you might get to go everywhere on like your one or two attractions. But as a custodial cast member, you get to wander around the park. You, yeah, kind of aren't really area, like, you don't have somebody hovering over, yeah, you, and, yeah, you get to interact with guests and help them. And like, I don't know. You're right. I think it's a great,
I feel like
job.
It's like one of the roles that's like the closest to what like Walt was in the park, right? He was just roaming. Sure. He was like picking up stuff. He was interacting with guests, you know, and it also feels like it's like a direct, like, connection to Walt, because he wanted to keep the parks clean and like differentiate, mm-hmm, from other theme parks and stuff. So I don't know, something special about it. And Ken and Lynn have definitely sold me on the, on,
you know,
the role.
Honestly, I think they have. I don't know if they realize like how much like good positive light they've brought to that role.
Yeah.
So many people are like, oh, never would in a million years I'd want to do that. And then you hear about the reality of it, you're like, oh wow. So yeah, yeah,
like a small portion, cool, of their job is like the disgusting stuff that people think of with custodial.
Yeah,
rights,
of course, right.
But like there's a much more glamorous side of it too, yeah, that like nobody thinks, mm-hmm, of. Plus I like their outfits, like the white outfits with like the maroon bags, like,
yeah,
you must be cool out there, you know, you're not wearing some like dark, that's hot, true, thing, you're, yeah, you're not a friend with a character where you're, yeah, baking,
you, yeah, know, this, gosh, is the other thing that like makes it more glamorous, right? Because when we think of this spot, we think it's like, right, picking up trash, cleaning up messes. It can't be that messy and horrible, because they would not put them in white.
That's true.
That's true. Well, exactly.
Well, Devin, thank you so much again. For people listening, I think we're going to end up splitting this into two episodes. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you guys liked the last couple episodes with Devin here. And we've obviously learned a lot and talked about just all over the place stuff. So thank you, Devin, for reaching out and spending what ends up being about 2.5 hours of your time with us tonight to share your experience with our listeners. And I think they're really going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land, where producer Vern will give us the answers to this week's trivia.
And I already know I did not do well. Just for lack of giving an answer is where I'm coming from.
But you know, you started strong.
Yeah.
Both of you did. You started very strong, and it was looking to be a very good round. And then with the help of the listeners and with a good oldie, you didn't do as well.
Okay.
But let's see how it was. Question number one, submitted by listener Om D. What did Mater's Junkyard Jamboree replace? You scored perfectly, with both of you knowing that was Bountiful Valley Farm.
Woo!
Thank goodness.
And it all goes downhill from here.
Yep.
Question number two, submitted by listener Donna S. What company sponsored the Indiana Jones attraction? Another perfect score for the two of you, knowing that was AT&T.
Okay, now it's downhill.
Now it's downhill. I forgot about
apparently
that
our memory is also bad just a few minutes ago.
That explains why we do so terrible at trivia sometimes.
Because we literally just forgot what happened, yeah, in our own lives.
Question number three is where it started getting harder for you. Submitted by listener Ace. According to Landmark 3.5 in Toontown, what is Mickey's Toontown Hysterical Society's motto? You guessed ha ha ha, and I forgot to write down your other guess.
It's Toontastic or something.
Oh, yes,
like that.
That's, yeah,
that
right. Was it. Neither of those were correct. I award you zero points. The correct answer we were looking for was laughter is sunshine you can hear.
Aw, that's sweet.
Laughter is sunshine you can hear?
Yes.
That's cute.
Question number four, submitted by listener Matthew J. What are the names of the two fortune tellers at Disneyland Park? Bonus, where can you find them? I award 2 points to Teresa for knowing that they were found on Main Street and New Orleans Square. And their names are Esmeralda from Main Street and Fortune Red from New Orleans Square.
Fortune Red.
2 points for Teresa, 0 points for Tag. And your bonus question, dipping back into the original questions from long ago when we're finally cleaning some of that up. The Haunted Mansion stretching room includes four pieces of art. One has three men in quicksand. The others feature named characters. Can you tell me who they are? 2 points to Teresa for knowing that Sally Slater is one of the names given to the tightrope walking lady with the umbrella. And Constance Hatchaway is the name of the bride with the hatchet. You missed that she's sitting on the headstone of her late husband, George Hightower. And the man in his boxers standing on top of the keg of dynamite is Alexander Nitrikoff.
Oh.
And Alexander Nitrikoff came to us with a bang.
I don't think I knew about that. Like, I don't think
I
knew that.
Is that like nitroglycerin?
Yeah, Nitrikoff, nitroglycerin. Mm. And he came to us with a bang. It's from the original 1968 script.
I learned something new. Yeah, I don't think I knew
learned.
His name.
Another name that would have been acceptable for the tightrope walker was Abigail Paticliff. Or Patecliff. Patecliff.
She has two names?
It's in there.
How does she have two names?
A lot of research. There's many, many different names that are out there. There's also contention amongst names that are used for various characters between Disney World and Disneyland. Oh. And various wikis don't distinguish which is which.
Sure.
And so I would have been accepting of a couple different names. So when Teresa came right out with the Sally Slater, I said, okay, good, because that one was definitely a consensus. So
gotcha.
So that's the tally for tonight. Your correct answers and you did pretty well at the start and Teresa did pretty well at the end and that
kind
was it.
Kind of. So. I did well. I did like half well, so I only answered half of the question.
Yeah, but you did better than I did.
Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? Did you get all of the right answers? Do you think that you've got the trivia that can really stump them next week? If you think you've got some really good stuff for us, feel free to send that in to trivia@dlweekly.net.
I also want to point out that we had some awesome weekly tiers. Matthew, Karina. Liberty, and Karina meticulously went through our entire back catalog of trivia and made a document that I am slowly going to go back through. And the answers and who scored what will be on each episode show notes page at the bottom, like where it would be in the show. So if you go to this week's show, you'll see our score and how we did there. So,
or if you're looking for what the questions were,
yeah,
you can find the questions and answers there as well. So you can memorize the facts and show off your Disney knowledge during your next park trip.
It's also helpful that if you want to submit trivia, you can look back and see one had been submitted already. So, well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.